And then ultimately, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. Anybody love Jesus? I love Jesus, and I thank him for saving me, for rescuing me. I walked into the doors of Victory Outreach there in California 17 years ago. My family was strung out on dope. They said there was no hope for my family. But how many of you know God sent Victory Outreach Men's Home, the Victory Home, to share the love of God? And I walked into the doors of Victory Outreach, and I haven't looked back. And I thank God for this great ministry and the Lord for using it, for using Victory Outreach to share the love of God. And I am forever grateful. Amen for that. Amen. But Mark chapter 10, let's get into it tonight. I know it's getting late here, so I'm gonna give it to you as prepackaged as I can. And so, Mark chapter 10, but if you want to put a title on this, you can entitle it Cross the Line. Come on, tap your neighbor and say, it's time to cross the line. Mark chapter 10, this is what it says. And now as Jesus was starting out on his way, someone ran up to him and fell on his knees and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defile. Honor your mother and your father. And the man said, teacher, all these I have obeyed since my youth. And Jesus looked at him and with love and loved him. How many know Jesus loves us? And he felt the love of him and said, you lack one thing. Go sell all of your possessions. Give your money to the poor. For you have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me. But at this statement, the man looked saddened. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. Let's pray one more time. Father, I come before you one more time. I thank you for, Lord, your presence that's here, how you're going to move tonight. And Lord, I ask for these few moments that we have together, Holy Spirit, that you would speak right through your word tonight, God, and you would pierce every heart. We give you glory and we give you honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, cross that line. Cross that line. You know, we pick up the story here. And Mark and Jesus is going about his business. And we pick up a scenario that happened here where Jesus is going and we see this man. We're going to call him Richie. We're going to nickname him because I don't feel like saying the young rich ruler the whole night. So we're going to call him Richie. Tell your neighbor, he's Richie. Richie runs up to the Lord here and he begins to make an appeal. It's interesting because towards the end of the verse, we see that Jesus used some very same words that we see him using periodically throughout the scriptures. Jesus gave this man here, Richie, the opportunity. He gave Peter the opportunity. He gave John and the rest of the disciples to come and to follow him. Yet we see here that in this passage that even at that statement, this man had all the great opportunity to be a disciple of Jesus. As I read this story, I begin to trip and begin to ask myself questions. I wonder if his response was different, would we be reading more about him? We never hear his name. We never hear more than him besides this and one other time there in one of the Gospels. We never hear of him again. What we see is we see a great opportunity for someone to make a very great impact. You see, the same way that the Lord used the disciples to spread this gospel, and the same way he used them to spread revival that we're still feeling today, this young man had that same opportunity, but yet we find that he walked away sorrowful. You know, we've been hearing a lot about the third wave. And I believe in it. I don't believe it. It's a statement. It's not a slogan. It's not just a hashtag. Listen, I want you to know here today, God's Anointed Now generation, that we are living in exciting times. That we are living in very exciting times. We're living in a time when the Lord is pouring out a brand new anointing. We call it the third wave. It's a brand new anointing that God is pouring out upon God's Anointed Now generation. It's a fresh new anointing that God is pouring out to push us forward to what God wants to do. I want you to know here today that every single one of us have the opportunity to be part of this new anointing, to be part of this third wave. God wants to do something. I believe God wants to bring revival through the Great Lakes. I believe it with all my heart. This isn't just something I say. This isn't just a first regional of the year statement. I truly believe with all of my heart that God wants to spark revival in our region. I believe that God wants to spark revival in Rockford, that God wants to spark revival in Chicago, that God wants to spark revival in Cleveland, in Racine, in Milwaukee, in Minnesota. Does anybody believe that here with me tonight? I believe that God wants to invade our cities. I believe the day is coming. We're going to see revivals break through high schools, and we're going to see revivals break through middle schools. I believe we're on the break where we're going to see God begin to move within our gang ministries, and they go from 30 to 50 to 80 to 100. I believe that just like this young man here, God is offering an opportunity to say, do you want to be used of me? Do you want to experience something great? Are you willing to let me use your life? I believe in this story here, what Jesus was doing is Jesus was drawing a line in the sand. In other words, what Jesus was telling Richie here, it's time to cross the line. Are you tired of where you've been? Are you tired of being on the other side? Are you tired of just coming to gang night and coming to gang regional and just going to retreat after retreat and just staying where you are? Are you ready to experience a brand new anointing? Are you ready to experience new levels? I believe that the Lord is drawing a line in the sand. And as God is beginning to unleash this third wave, and as he's beginning to unleash a brand new anointing upon our generation, I believe God is looking for candidates here tonight. I believe God is looking for candidates. He's looking for gang warriors. He's looking for gang girls. Let me tell you this, and the candidates that God is looking for are not limited to your age. They're not limited to what city you're from. They're not limited to how you grew up, what you did in your past. All the Lord is looking for tonight is someone who's willing, someone who's ready to cross that line. I believe here in this passage, we can learn a lot from Richie. We can learn a lot from this person that had so much potential and so much opportunity. Yet we find a way that instead of being used of God, he was used as an example or used as a Bible study on not what to be or not how to act. But I came tonight. How many of you came ready to learn from young Richie right here? We're going to learn from this man here. As we look at the story, we see that Jesus begins to hit three different areas. I believe the three areas that Jesus begins to hit in this passage here are three areas that he is challenging our region. Three areas that he is challenging God's anointed now generation here in the Great Lakes. Whether you're a new gen or you're a high schooler or a young adult, you're sitting in the training center, you might be in the Victory Home, you might have just showed up on here because it's Friday night. I believe the Lord is challenging areas within inside of us because God is preparing us for something great. God is setting the stage for something great. And so the Lord begins to challenge three areas. We're going to look at them, three H's here tonight. First H that we're going to look at that he begins to challenge as we look at crossing the line is Jesus began to challenge the head. Tell your neighbor the head. In other words, Jesus begins to challenge the mind. You know, see, we live in a time today where we live in the most technological time in human history. The most advanced time that the world has ever seen. Some of the most intellectual people more than ever are of today. And we see this because the rise of technology. Technology has within the last 100 years has jumped so far ahead. If we were to look back just 100 years ago, times were completely different. If we were to look back 20 years ago, times were different. But because the speed up of technology, we see that the world is changing. The world is changing. I mean, I look at my daughter. I have a 5-year-old. And she like knows how to use my phone. The other day she got on a game and she spent $15. She's 5 years old. She has her own iPad. Not because I bought it for her, but because she came in first place in Run for Hope. That's a little pops bragging right there. And the kids' age group. So she has her iPad. She has her own. My wife made her a Snapchat just so she could take pictures of herself, but no one's following her but me and her mom. She wants to do her own tutorials on YouTube. She's crazy. My daughter's crazy. She's doing makeup tutorials. Like Nate and April's wife, Nate and April's daughter inspired her. And what? Why? Because you see because of technology today, that people are smarter than ever before. And because of that, it shaped a generation that is very intellectual. A generation that, because of the internet, we know it, most of us, as Google. That we find answers like within seconds, depending on your internet dial speed limit, right? Depending on your phone service. Because of today, we see that the intelligence of people and the mindset of people has advanced so far within the last span of just not even a few years. And so because of that, we have a whole generation, we call them millennials. I just found out I was a millennial. I was the first year, I guess. I was sad when I found out. But then I got provoked and said, I'm going to change it. I'm going to change the stereotype of what it is. And because of that, we see that because of that, a whole generation has been brought up to think different. A whole generation has been brought up to question everything. A generation has been caught up really fast just to Google and go off the first answer they find. Because of technology and the way that the world is shaping us, and I'm not against technology. I have an iPhone, I have an iWatch, so nothing wrong with it. But I'm saying because of this, what happens, we got a whole generation that has grown up thinking a certain way, acting a certain way, believing a certain way, and we got a whole new generation that's coming up that doesn't believe in absolute truth, that doesn't believe in and what the preachers are saying over the pulpit, that don't believe what the scriptures are saying, but rather just go to Google. Rather be politically correct. Rather not stand out, but just fit in. And because of the way technology has gone and because of the way things are going, we see a whole new way of thinking today. The Christian of today thinks way different. They tend to question everything. They tend to want facts and not go off of faith. They have questions like, if God is real, show me who he is. They question everything. So we see in this passage here, when Jesus begins to address this man, he begins to address his mindset. It opens up and the man says, good teacher, what must I do? And Jesus begins to hit him. He says, why do you call me good? No one is good but God. Why did he do that? Because he believed that he thought different. He understood that this guy just looked at him as someone who could give him the right answers. It was a spirit of unbelief inside of him, in his mindset, that looked at Christ as just someone who can give him good answers for the day, but not someone that can really change his life. We see in the same way that young Richie thought this way and believed this way, we're in the midst of a generation that believes that is struggling the same battle. I found some statistics. They say that 50% of millennials believe in the Bible just like any other writing. Just some ancient myths, but not literal truth. Over 69% of our generation believe, check this out, they disagree with even the smallest amount of sin should deserve punishment. Over 50% of young believers today believe that Jesus accepts every different forms of worship. Every different form, not just Christianity, but everything, Islam, everything, whatever you believe, they believe Jesus will accept it. Over 78% believe that Jesus Christ was God's first creation, not God himself. They don't believe it. They believe Jesus was created like man. What is this painting a picture to us today? This is painting a picture to us today. It makes it very clear that our generation is facing the same dilemma that this young man faced. It's a spirit of unbelief within the mindsets of our generation. But I want to make a statement here today, God's anointed now generation, that we refuse to think what the world thinks. We refuse to be how the world thinks. We refuse to set to the standards of the world. I want you to know here today, God's anointed now generation, that the world may not believe in it. The world may not all accept it. But we believe some truth here tonight. We believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that God did raise him from the dead, that he did live a sinless life, that he did stretch his hands on the cross, that he was fully God and fully man, And after he died, 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God. We choose to believe that he doesn't accept every religion, but according to John 14, 6, that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. That no one would come to him except for the Father. No one would go to the Father except through the Son. See, Jesus was challenging a mindset here today. We are in a battlefield of a mindset, God's anointed now generation. And it's important that we understand what we believe. That we don't just come to Jesus as a nice chain to wear. That going to church on Sunday just isn't to become an event that we attend. That being a Christian isn't just a label we wear when we're at church and we take it off when we go to school. But we choose to believe that we were fearfully and wonderfully created by the one and the only true God. And that he loves us and he cares for us. This truth points out to the fact of God's amazing love for us. That through the work of Christ and through the work of who Jesus was, it is demonstration of the amazing love of God. Do you know that you're loved by God? Do you know that you're loved by God? So at Romans chapter 8 tells us that even because of this love, that nothing could separate us. That nothing could separate us from this love. That means no matter how you came in the church doors, no matter what background you came in, no matter what hang up you had, what struggle you had, if you grew up in the pews or you grew up on the streets, that Jesus Christ loves you. God loves you. He fearfully, wonderfully made you. He has plans for your life. And according to Romans 8, that there's nothing on this planet that can ever separate us from that love. There's nothing that can ever get away from that love, that God will always love us. He will continue. Jesus was challenging a mindset. He was challenging a mindset. A mindset that chooses to go off of, just wants to go off of facts and not have any faith. I want you to know here today, if we're going to see great wonders, if we're going to see miracles, if we're going to see God do great things within your gang ministry, if we're going to see God do great things within our city, it's going to happen through faith. It's going to happen through a generation that learns to believe and learns to trust and have faith in the absolute, full, authoritative word of the living God and learns to stand on it, learns to live by it, learns to preach it, learns to... Someone once said the reason why we don't see miracles no more is because there's no more faith in the church. But I got news for you. I believe that there's miracles on the way. There's miracles on the way. I just witnessed a miracle last week. There was an individual in Victorite San Bernardino for the last 7 years. He couldn't talk. He couldn't move. He reverted all the way back to being an infant. The doctor said he would stay like that. But last Sunday, they sent us a video of him testifying. Of him testifying with full clarity. Doctor said, "We don't know what's happening to you." He said, "Jesus healed me." I believe we're coming upon the day today where we're going to see more miracles now, generation. That we're going to see more miracles, and we can't allow our minds to get caught up in the world and get our minds to get caught up on what the world believes and the facts of the world believe, but daring to trust God's word, daring to have faith, to lay hands on the sick, to lay hands on the blind. I wonder when's the last time you lay hands on a drug addict and you believe that God could set them free. And you didn't wait to get them to the home, but right there on the corner, you laid hands on them. And they may be strung out. And doctors may say they have to kick, but you choose to believe God set Pastor Sonny free in one night. That time of radical faith. Man, we see miracles in our gang ministries. We see miracles on our gang ministries. We see God deliver people in our gang ministries. We see God... Well, I'm believing that type of revival. Listen, revival isn't good preaching. It isn't just good services. Oh, revival is the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Moving through believers, moving through ministries, moving through your city. Not in the church, but going out of the church. The only way that's going to happen is if we begin to change. The same way the Lord began to change this young man's thinking, and he began to change young Richie's way of thinking and what he believed. We can't just look at Jesus as just some person who lived. We have to believe he is who he is. And through that, the Bible tells us the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. So Jesus begins to challenge the mind, the head. Secondly, what he begins to challenge is he challenges the heart. He challenges the heart. You see, after that passage, and Jesus, he answers him real intentionally. And then Jesus tells him after he picks his response, okay, you think this way, then Jesus hits him and he says, you know the commandments? And he gives him a list. Then the guy says, you know, Richie says, all this I kept since I was in Royal Rangers. Been doing that since New Gen. What was going on here? Jesus was revealing the issue of his heart. Jesus was targeting the area of his heart. Jesus knows everything. He knew there was no way that we followed all the commandments. We follow the commandments, there'd be no need for Christ. Jesus wouldn't need to be there. It was a heart issue. Jesus was, he was challenging the heart. See, what I believe God is doing now, generation, is God is challenging the hearts of our region. God is challenging the hearts of the young people, the young adults, the new gen, the high school, within the Great Lakes. He's challenging the heart. We have to understand that this walk that we live in, if we're going to fulfill God's plan for our life, if we're going to pursue the destiny that God has for our life, then it's a heart thing. It's not know-how. It's not gifting. It's not ability. It's not how long you've been around. It's the same thing that he was dealing. It's a heart issue. I came to ask you, where's your heart tonight? Young gang girl, where's your heart? Young gang warrior, where's your heart? It's a heart thing. There's a war going on inside of our hearts. The war that is, this is the war that's going on inside of our hearts. Holiness versus compromise. Holiness versus compromise. That's the challenge of our hearts, the challenge. The Lord is zeroing in. He's targeting the heart. There's a war going on inside. Do we choose to live holy or do we choose to compromise? I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm talking to the saved folk here tonight. Gang girl with your choose purity ring. Gang warrior with your dog tag. Young leader, the war is holiness versus compromise. See, it's very easy for us just to compromise. We live in a world today that doesn't value holiness, that doesn't value being set apart to God, that doesn't value living true for God. We live in a world that says, listen, do what you want. Who can judge you? Just do you. No, do you is going to get you real messed up. Do you is going to get you in jail. Do you, gang girl, is going to get you pregnant. Oh, this is reality here. This is reality here. Listen, doing you is going to get you kicked out of school. Doing you is going to get you to throw away your destiny. Doing you is going to ruin your life. Well, the world says, what's wrong with a little bit? Jesus loves you, don't he? There's a war. There's a war going on. There's a battle going on. Young people, they compromise everything. They're famous. They say, well, it isn't sin. Before who? He who knows to do good unto him and does not to him, it is sin. That paints a picture to us, all of us here tonight, that whatever we choose to put before being obedient to God could become sin in our life. Whatever it is. Whoever she is, he is. It is. My youth pastor told me a long time ago, if you have a price tag, the devil will pay for it. He'll get you to compromise. He'll get you to just dabble a little bit. He'll get you to say, what's wrong with weed? They're legalizing it everywhere. Where does it say in the Bible you can't smoke weed? Especially like in Chicago, we live in such a liberal state, man. It's They'll get us to think that way. They'll get us to compromise our values, to compromise the purity. The purity, I said. What's wrong with a little kissing? Let me just hit it there. What's wrong with a little kissing, Pastor? You know what's wrong with kissing? It's what kissing leads to. That's what kissing leads to. You don't stop kissing, that's why. Kissing turns into touching. Touching turns into 9 months later. Yeah, compromising world, man. What's wrong with a little of this? What's wrong with a little of that? What's wrong with a little bit of really music? What's wrong with a little really music? I don't know about you, but when I my desire is to base my life off the text. That's my goal. I'm not perfect. The scriptures. And whenever I hear about music in the scriptures and its intendency, it was always to uplift Christ. It was always to uplift God. My question is, if it isn't lifting up Jesus, who is it lifting up? Your feelings, your emotions, your desires, your angers, your hurts. Music sets a mood. So I said to you yesterday, you were all sad because everywhere you walked in, there was love music going on. You're like, I didn't find my Valentine. Because it set a mood. All of a sudden, you're getting desperate yesterday. You're like, well, they're saved. He's in the home. Leave him alone. You're in the training center together, not for that. It's the truth. I tell you because I love you. Because it's real. But he'll get us to compromise. He'll get us to compromise values and principles. He'll get us to compromise who we are. He'll get us to, okay, I'm not like that. He'll get you to compromise your prayer life. He'll get you to compromise your prayer life. And you'll settle with just walking out the door, Jesus, help me today. That's good when you're first saved and that's all you know. And he'll get you to compromise it. Well, you said a little quick little prayer. Listen, that little prayer ain't going to give you power. That little prayer ain't going to give you the victory you need to overcome temptation and overcome sin when it comes knocking on your door. Early on when you're first saved, God honors that because of your grace, man. He knows that's all you have. But some of you, you've traded in your prayer life for 30 more minutes of sleep. You traded in your study life for Netflix. For YouTube. And instead of filling yourself with your word, you're filling yourself with all these crazy shows. He'll get us to compromise, but he desires that we will live holy. Listen, that means set apart. That means the world ain't gonna get you. They ain't gonna understand you. They ain't gonna agree with how you live. Jesus said, enter into the narrow gate, for wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to eternity. What was Jesus telling you? That it ain't gonna be popular. You might lose some friends on Facebook. They might stop following you on Instagram. It's all right. They may not like your post, but as long as your heavenly Father is... I'd rather take 1,000 likes in heaven than take millions here on earth. We're going to stand out. They're going to say we're a little bit weird. They're going to say you're a Jesus freak. You're a church boy. They're going to... Listen, they hated Jesus. They mocked his disciples. What makes us any different? Too afraid to stand for God. And all we deal with is social persecution. They stop following you. They don't talk to you no more. They don't sit by you at the lunch table. They don't invite you to the movies. You're not in their in crew no more. And the world's over. When there's believers on the other side of the planet that choose to live for God and are being killed, are being slain, being burned alive, being beheaded, being stoned, because they choose and where it's illegal, where it's not right to still carry the word of God. Radical. They choose to live holy. They choose to live separate. My question is, where's all the gang girls and gang wars that are choosing a holy life? Just like Moses refused the pleasures of the world but chose to follow God. a generation that would stand so much out that people would look at our lives and say, there has to be a God. There has to be something different about them, because I may not agree with everything they say. I may not understand everything they do, but all I know is there's something different about their life. And every time I get around them, I feel something different. Every time they talk to me, there's something different about them. That our light is shining bright. Bright light is birthed out of holiness. Some of us are running half dim. We're running half dim. We ain't got no more light in us. Let me tell you, this compromise will take your power. Hidden sin will rob you of your power. It'll drain you of your source. It'll suck the holiness out of your life. It'll drain you of your anointing. It'll drain you of your effectiveness. It'll drain you of all those things. It'll even drain you of your gifts. We got to make sure, listen, that we become a generation that values holiness, that values living set apart, man, that values living on the other side and not blending in with the crowd, not fitting in with everybody else. Thirdly, they can get ready. I'm not going to be too much longer. Thirdly, what Jesus challenges, well, he challenged the head, he challenged the heart, but he challenged the hands. Jesus asked him to give something up. Jesus asked him for action. He asked him for something. I believe in the same way that many times as we're here tonight, and even many times we're in settings that God is speaking. The voice comes behind the pulpit. It's never the preacher. It's the voice behind the voice, and God is speaking. You know, to be honest, you know what the Lord, you know, he doesn't just look for just claps. He doesn't just look for all of that. You're wearing the nice suit and knowing all the right songs and knowing all the right lingo. Amen, Pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I didn't tell how effective you can run meetings. You know what he's looking for? He looks for action. Not just words, but action. Action behind what we do, to put our hands to something. Jesus asked him something. Where's Gus? Come here, Gus. Yeah, bring them, all three of them. You want to know why? Because in the same way the Lord, he came, the Lord begins to challenge these areas, and the Lord asks them of something. There's too many of us. We come to Jesus like this. We can put them down. We get saved. We're serving the Lord. And the younger ruler showed up like this, with all this stuff, his money, all of his life. And Jesus offered him the greatest opportunity he could ever have. I mean, when you look at the disciples, man, cities were named after them. Temples and cathedrals were named after them. Books were written about their life. But as we look at their life, every single one of them had to make a decision to leave everything, not just by what they said, but with action. There's too many of our generation that we come to Jesus and we come with all kinds of stuff. We come with all of our life and everything in it, and Jesus is saying, let it go and follow me. And we sit there saying, I can't lose this. You know what these bags symbolize? There are three things that every single one of us are going to have to deal with. The bag of fear. The bag of fear. Jesus is asking us, he's calling us, and there's too many people tonight that don't step into that opportunity, that don't step into a new anointing, that don't step into a brand new level, because they want to take fear with them. Fear of what's going to happen. Fear of what I have to let go. Fear of what people are going to say about me. Fear about losing their dreams and their desires. Fears and fears and fears. And we let fears hold us back. There's too many people in our generation that are missing opportunities because they're scared. They're scared. What is God going to hurt us? Where do we find that his plans are not are of bad? Where do we find that he just wants to hurt us? Where do we find in the scripture? That's why I believe there's not too many young people that read the Bible, because they don't know this stuff. We don't see that. We see promise after promise of God saying, I have nothing but the best for you. Promise after promise of God saying, let it go and I'll use you. And there's too many of us that we even came tonight and we have a bag of fear. What ifs and how comes and what's going to happen? And I want this for my life and I want that for my life. And if I let it go, what's going to happen? And we allow the bag of fear to hold us back. Then there's others of us that we come to God with the bag of the past. The bag of the past. He dealt with the same thing. He had fears. He had a lot of money. His money was his security. He was fearful to let it go. What is he going to do? And his past. He knew what he had, how hard he worked for it, what was his. Each one of us at once in our walk with God are going to have to let our past go. Listen, you're not who you used to be. You're not who you used to be. The devil's a liar. That's not you no more. I know your family may not see it yet, but God sees it. I know others in you may not believe in you yet, and they may not see it yet, but God sees it. We got to learn to check the bag at the door and say, God, I'm not taking my past with me. I don't care what I had before, who I was before, how bad it was. Your word tells me that you've forgiven me of all of my sins. And I don't have to take it with me no more. And the third, there's too many of us, we walk in with God with the backpack of backup plans. The backup of backup plans. And inside we come like, yeah, God, I'm willing. But if this doesn't work out, I got this going for me still. And if this doesn't work out for me, she's still there. He's still there. This is still there. And in a sense, what we're doing is we're walking with one foot in and one foot out. What I believe God is looking for, he's looking for a generation that'll just learn to leave everything, man. Why? You want to know why? Because I believe God wants to use you. I believe it, man. I'm foolish enough to believe the scriptures, man, that God wants to use our generation. He wants to pour out a new anointing. He wants to pour out a new spirit. And he wants you to go from just being a convert to being a disciple. Just being a follower of Jesus to being one of Jesus's. Just attending and now committing. Surrendering a heart that would come and say, Lord, listen, God, I know I have these things. I know they look good. I know they're fearful. But God, I'm willing to let it go. I believe God wants to use your life in bigger ways than you could ever imagine. Listen, this isn't just a hype message of prosperity. I believe that God wants to raise up our generation so that we can see revival wrap and blow itself through the Great Lakes. You want to know why? Because some of us ain't going to be here forever. Some of us as gang leaders, your gang leaders ain't going to be here forever. They're going to go out and pastor. They're all going to go out and take cities. They're going to move on one day and help their pastors and help make a difference in their city. What do we need? We want to prepare a generation to take the world for Jesus. You know what I'm waiting for? I want to take a city one day. And I want to know who's going to take this. Who's going to take it? Who's going to take this thing? Who's going to live a holy life, man, and rise up and take this thing from us? So that we can go into foreign cities. We can go into other countries. We can go around the world and fulfill the calling that we have. Listen, tonight, well, we need more. We need more disciples, man. We need more men and women that will finally commit themselves to Christ. Music team, come help me out. I want you to stand with me, if you will, here tonight. There's a line that's being drawn tonight. And I'm going to be honest, I know this wasn't a popular message. I know it wasn't one of those hype, screaming messages. I know that. I didn't come for that tonight, man. God's been dealing with me. We have a responsibility. A responsibility to raise up a generation that would live a life fully committed to Christ. That will live a life fully dedicated to Jesus Christ and to his purpose for their life and to living for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility. And tonight what I'm doing is I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm challenging those tonight who are willing to step over the line. I know you've been living on the other side. I know that you're over there and it looks good and you've been struggling and you've been there. But tonight I believe God wants to cross you over. God wants to cross you over. There's other years tonight you're on the line. You've been playing too long. Man, time is going quick. You don't have time to waste. And there's other you, man, you need to recommit. Because you crossed over years ago, but you haven't been living like it. And tonight what I want to do is I'm going to draw a line in the sand tonight. If that's you, you say, listen, Pastor, man, I'm ready. Man, I want what God has for my life. I want the things that God has for my life. God has been dealing with me. God has been provoking me. And tonight I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to make a bold statement. I'm not going to care about who's next to me. I'm not going to care about what everyone else thinks. I'm not going to worry about the opinions of others. Tonight, Jesus, I feel you calling me. That's what you're feeling right now. You're feeling the Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Meow, meow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That's what you're feeling tonight. Even in your seat, you're feeling the tugging of the Holy Spirit. That's why you feel like crying. That's why you feel an uneasiness. That's why you want to get up and you want to run out of here because the Holy Spirit's tugging you. The Holy Spirit's calling you. The Holy Spirit is drawing you to Him. The question tonight is, as the line is drawn in the sand, I want all of you tonight who are willing to step out of the crowd, willing to step out from amongst everybody else, willing to step out from the normal life, and are willing to say, Lord, I'm ready to get over that line. I want you to get out of your seat, and I want you to come quick. I want you to come close. That's it. Come close. Come as close as you can. Come on, there's plenty of room. Make room. Come close. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Make room for him. Make room. That's it. Cross over now. Cross over. Cross over the line. And tell him, say, Jesus, I'm ready.